Welcome back to Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We're your after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, why they are soulmates, and lately, if they will ever have a scene together again.
I'm about to say, will they ever connect again?
Not only will we be wrong, they'll end this series as complete strangers.
I know. Boy.
No, we still have faith. All the signs are still pointing in that direction. We're just like crawling there.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, one small development in there, which we'll get to later.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise.
5 episodes left. But honestly, we have 5 hours left.
Right.
And
what does that mean?
They could do a lot in 5 hours.
No, I know. Yeah. Okay, I'm telling you.
I think last week I said we have 6 hours left. They can do a lot in 6 hours.
Yeah, I know. Now there's only 5. All right, we'll see.
They have 2 hours left.
I don't know.
Please no. Please God no. If you are enjoying this at all, please consider going over to iTunes and leaving a rating and review. And then listen, if you're not enjoying this, just keep going.
Yeah.
But we did get a couple.
Plenty of other Ted Lasso podcasts that are good.
Oh, yes. And you should be listening to those anyway.
Right.
Because we are the side dish,
mm-hmm,
to the glass of whiskey. But we did get a few, so I wanted to read that. But we got 2 5-stars and 1 2-star, but I'm still going to read the 2-star.
Okay.
Because I feel like we need to listen to the criticism.
Okay.
So the first 5-star says, "New listener, I discovered this podcast when I needed more of a Ted Lasso deep dive after season 3, episode 6. I'm really enjoying it, so I went back to the beginning of their coverage."
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Oh, so they're listening to the whole thing.
Yeah, they started from the beginning.
Nice.
And then another 5-star. Awesome. "They always make me smile. I've listened to every episode and have enjoyed how much stronger your podcasts have gotten up until right there.
Okay.
And how much thought you put into not just Ted Becca, but the show itself, and explains some things I miss. I love listening to you defend the ship on Peanut Butter and Biscuits. And can't wait to see Ted and Rebecca get there happily ever after. Especially because I don't want you to burn your podcast to the ground."
That's a good one.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And then our 2-star says, "Too much personal stuff. Just not interested."
Oh, okay. Maybe we should stop saying our names at the beginning.
I know, honestly, we're pretty good about not saying personal stuff at the beginning because sometimes I listen to podcasts and it takes like 20 minutes before, not any of the Ted Lasso ones, but some of the true crime ones, it takes like 20 minutes before you even get into the stories.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
The first episode of the season, we did kind of recap, but I feel like people know us by then.
Yeah, they probably listen to that one.
Yeah, like if you were to come straight to the show and hear that and not give an F about what we did over the summer, which, sure. You know, I see that, but then you're going to get turned off. But we try not to say too much personal stuff. But
yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're right. Again, we'll just stop saying our name. Welcome to the podcast. Let's get into it.
And then I want to say too, before we start this episode, because this may be our shortest episode ever. I'm not really sure yet. If you're waiting for the next episode to come up and you are looking for things to do, go back and listen to Peanut Butter and Biscuits did an interview with Luke Tenney last week. It was great.
All right.
He is a shipper, but he's breaking my heart a little bit because he's kind of starting to lose hope that they can get this in before the show is over, but we'll see. And then LassoCast had a great interview on their episode last week with Matt Lipsey, who was the director of this episode, the episode before, and the one before that. And then this Friday or Saturday, Peanut Butter and Biscuits is going to release another podcast that Craig did with myself and Angie, another fan. And we just discuss kind of the female perspective of Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was fun. The episode we're going to cover today is called The Strings That Bind Us. It was released on April 26, 2023. It's written by Phoebe Walsh, who we know also plays Jane, and directed by Matt Lipsey again. So I think this is the last of his three-episode block. Did you know that they changed the name of this episode?
I was about to say that the episode formerly called, was it Boxes?
Boxes, yeah. It's The Strings That Bind Us work much better.
Yeah, they do.
In several ways. And I was like, why would they have even called it Boxes? And then they did reference like being kept in a box.
Yeah, there's one scene where it's referenced.
Yes, but with all the strings tied to things, I think it was better to go with The Strings That Bind Us. The summary of this episode. So now if I'm just summarizing the Ted and Rebecca parts, it's that Ted and the coaches introduced the guys to Total Football, those right. who weren't already familiar with it. And Rebecca goes to dinner and then goes to a football game.
Is that the podcast? Are we done?
Then that's it. That's all we see. But the first time we see Ted, and a lot of other amazing things happen in this episode, this was probably, I still think last week was my favorite of the season so far.
No, okay.
But this one was up there as far as the other storylines because, you know, I am glad that everyone's kind of getting their spotlight this year a little more. We haven't seen much of Sam this season, but he got this episode to carry the story that's been going on since season two. So it is nice to see that these other characters are getting fleshed out a bit more. You know, it's just sad not to see Rebecca because she is my favorite.
I know. She was in this thing almost the least.
Yeah. But
as far as main characters go anyway.
And we've already discussed this, how stressful this show is now because of this podcast.
Yes.
But like the first time I watched the show, I'm like trying to be in the moment and watch the show. But I'm also thinking, like, I haven't seen Rebecca yet. Where's Rebecca?
Right.
She didn't come on for a good 15 minutes, so the second time I watched the episode, I always enjoy it so much more because I know what's happening and I can just focus on the stories going on and the jokes that are being told and not be stressed out about what we're going to say on the podcast. The moral of the story is don't start a podcast for something you like. Start a podcast for a show you don't care about.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first time we see Ted, he and the coaches have agreed to put Total Football into action. Beard has a little video presentation that he's put together.
Yeah, which is impressive. It's got some nice logos on it. And
it is very impressive. And I was just making a comment earlier about how, you know, there's probably nothing on this TV when he was doing this with the actors.
Yeah.
And then AJ, one of the editors, actually posted about how there was nothing on the TV. So
yeah, must they have edited been a, all a that green stuff. Green screen.
Yeah.
And then they just put it on there.
Yeah, which is great. So everyone's kind of, they're into the idea, but they assume that they're not going to put this into action for a few months. They're going to work it out, train it, you know, get all the kinks out, and then try it. But Ted says, no, we're going to try this Saturday at the match against Arsenal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And even Roy is like, this is crazy. That's not what he says, but
yeah, he's like, wait, what? And everyone else is not real excited about it as well. I'm just going to point out here, I don't really know how significant this is, but in this first part of the episode here, Ted's wearing a red shirt. We haven't seen Ted's arms in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're pale, but they're nice. I like it. I don't think we've seen that red shirt in a long time either.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm happy to see him in short sleeves. So later that night, Ted and Beard are at the pub. And Beard starts telling Ted about how Jane is leaving stuff around the house, magazines, so that he sees them. And he keeps telling her how all of her friends are doing it. And Ted says, oh, well, yeah, marriage is a big commitment. And he's like, no, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about pegging.
And it was like, whoa. And I think I even missed it the first time we watched
you
it,
did.
Which made me so disappointed.
I think I missed it too. And then I had to go back and see it. And then I told you about it because we both missed it. I don't know why. We must have either been stressed out in the moment or
Completely
didn't hear what he said. But I love it because Ted's not even like shocked. He's like, oh, all right.
But then he says, wait, what magazine? So right. he's trying to figure out there's pegging magazines out there.
There might be. Who knows? So she's got him open to a page where there is pegging going on in a different type of magazine.
Yeah. Okay.
But Beard seems a little concerned about it. He's not really sure what to do. So May comes over. She's kind of bummed because the bar isn't doing well. They don't do very well when they aren't winning.
When Richmond's losing. Yeah.
They do better when they're winning games. I should also mention that I'm going to do this a bit out of order. I'm just going to cover all of Ted's storyline, and then we'll cover all of Rebecca's storyline because it's shorter. Baz, Paul, and Jeremy are there. They come up to Ted and they're like, we've been too nice to you, and now we've gone soft and you're losing, so we're gonna go back to being jerks. So they call him a wanker.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, you know what, how about you guys come to practice, because I'm not really hiding anything, and maybe you would feel a little more involved if you were in the process. So he invites them to go, and they're like, oh, sure, whatever, and then they walk away, and then they're super excited.
I know, and like, I think like that one of the comparisons, too, he says, we're not hiding anything, we're not a chocolate factory, from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Is that what that reference is for?
That's what I think he meant, like, because Willy Wonka, they were always hiding, right. He was hiding the recipe for the gobstoppers.
The recipe was...
The everlasting gobstoppers.
Was
the
dead children and everything who got sucked into the machines.
Well, yeah, but the recipe was never to get out.
Right,
and the Charlie didn't tell him to press about the recipe, and that's why he got to keep the chocolate factory at the end.
I like, too, that Ted, when Beard says, are you sure that's a good idea? Ted says, it's not really our team, we're just borrowing it. Like he said, like, it's their team.
Right, it's the fans' team.
Yeah, which I thought that was a cool way to look at it.
Yeah, it is. Clever. Even Beer's just kind of like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I see that. I also, so May points to the guy sitting at the bar with the newspaper. He's been in other episodes. And I was thinking, what if we find out at the end of this that that's May's husband this whole time?
Oh, that would be funny.
But someone on Twitter reminded me, two people on Twitter reminded me that I think there's another part where she says, we went on a couple dates and he kept correcting me.
Oh.
And so, but what if it's like a Pam Roy thing where, I remember Pam, there's a part in one of the episodes of The Office where Pam's talking about her worst first date.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was with Roy.
Right.
So like, what if that was a terrible date, yet she still married him?
Yeah, true.
That would be funny. At the end of that scene, Beard says, well, I guess marriage and pegging really aren't all that different. And Ted says they're all about, both about compromise.
Mm. Yes.
Not really sure where the compromise would be.
I don't know.
Either going to be for it or you're not.
Right.
But sure, Ted. So the next day, they're at practice, training, whatever. Baz, Paul, and Jeremy are also there. And Roy's like, what the fuck are they doing here? Ted says, I don't know. Ask Beard. He invited them. And so now they're going to hand the training over to Roy for the day because Ted says the first part of this is conditioning. You guys need to get in even better shape than you are. So Roy just has them run the field back and forth for the entire training.
Yeah, I wonder how long that is.
Yeah.
How long training is.
Oh. I don't even know how long the field is.
Well, either one. But I mean, how long they had to run. That's a lot of running. And if you notice, Jamie is always in the lead.
Oh. Or
there's a couple of times I noticed that, I think. At least one. Well, because he's probably the most physically fit now.
Right.
Because he's been working out every day.
Yeah.
So he can, his endurance is probably up.
The other thing about football fields is I don't know anything about sports. I didn't know that soccer football fields can be different sizes depending on the stadium.
Yeah,
that seems bizarre to me because football fields are all the same size, right?
Yes.
Okay.
American football fields.
Right,
yes.
Right, right. American
baseball fields are, well, I won't say baseball fields are all the same size. The outfield can be different. The walls, like the way it's set up, the distance is different in every ballpark for sure.
But I would think,
but like where the bases are and all that stuff is exactly the same.
So I would think if you're a team whose home stadium is a larger stadium, wouldn't you think that would have an advantage because they're used to playing on a larger field?
I don't know. I don't know enough about football.
Seems odd to me. But so it doesn't, I mean, The guys are running, but really all it's doing is getting everyone to puke.
Yeah, yeah, throwing up everywhere. And with the funny scene is Baz, Paul, and Jeremy are just all sitting there, and they say, I've never seen this, you know, epic throwing up or whatever. And then I don't know who's who, to be honest with you, but...
I know Paul is the tall one with the hat. Okay. I don't know. I can never tell which one is Baz and which one is Jeremy.
I know. Well, then he says, and we spend most of our time in a pub, and they haven't seen that much throwing up.
And they
which
usually
is funny.
Order the boot whenever they can afford it, or it's free.
Yeah.
So yeah, you would think that.
I'm sure late nights at the pub they've seen some. They've seen some puking.
Yeah, I'm sure. The next tactic they try is that they're going to switch spots with another player. And the for example they give is that Danny and Isaac are going to switch. So Danny starts imitating Isaac, and Isaac starts imitating Danny.
Which is excellent.
So good. I'm not even going to try to do it. And Ted's like, oh, you don't have to do the voices. And they're like,
oh. Yeah, they're suddenly disappointed.
Yeah, he's like, all right, well, you can do the voices if you want to. And then if he says that Beard is going to be Will that day. So you see Beard behind him at the water table dropping water bottles all over the place.
I know. And the way he does it, it's excellent. He has the same exact mannerisms as clumsy Will. Like the bottles are falling everywhere and his body language. It was excellent.
Yes. I just want to mention too, when Bumper Catch throws up, he's throwing up whole Cheerios and he says he does that because he wants to conserve energy in case there's like an apocalypse. But then he's wiping his tongue with his jersey.
I don't understand what was happening there.
It's so gross.
Yeah, like what was happening? Like the tongue, I guess, felt gross, but now you're going to put your dirty jersey
right.
all over it.
It's just the look on his face, too. He looks like a little kid. So right before they're getting ready to start the training, Ted says, all right, coach, take it away. And it's Will with tape over his face that he has a beard, and he starts screaming, let's go. Whatever he normally says before. Yeah, yeah.
And he sounds like, it was really funny.
Yeah, this is great. So they hand out all the little cards that tell everyone who they're going to switch with. And Jamie notices that it says Jamie, and then he opens it up, but it still says Jamie. So he goes over to Ted and says, you know, I got myself. And he's like, oh, yeah, we just figured that you would want to keep doing what you're doing. And I don't know if, did they have a plan there? Or did they think that, that's just really what Jamie would want to do when they went with it because he seemed to be the least interested in the idea.
I don't know. Sure. That's a good question.
But it ends up helping them. So he's like, okay, cool. So he goes back. So Jamie is going to be himself. All the other guys are switching places. Well, them switching the place means that Isaac now has to do a corner kick that Danny would have done. And I should mention, too, that Baz, Paul, and Jeremy are having the time of their lives.
Yes.
Because we found out in season two that these guys have never even been to a match, right? Because they can't afford it.
Yeah, they never go.
Yeah. So now they're like getting dress rehearsal or
right.
whatever you would, sound check, whatever you would equate this to. Isaac is on the corner and he's like, I've never kicked the corner ball before. He's like, just kick it. So he does. And it goes flying and smashes into Higgins' office window, and poor Higgins dumps tea all over
I know,
himself.
And it's hot tea. You can tell he's having a hard time in there.
hot tea.
That was great. Yes. That was a great scene.
But I think you mentioned last night, we only see Higgins like a tiny little smidge again.
Yeah,
after
there,
that.
And then and then at the match, you see him.
So now the next practice is even more ridiculous. Ted tells them about the Japanese, in the Japanese culture, they have a belief that everyone's soulmate is attached to them by an invisible red string tied to their pinky fingers. A few things on that. One, I think Jason's been looking at fan art on Twitter because I swear people have been drawing Ted and Rebecca with a string between their fingers for a while. I think part of it is probably that belief, and then part of it is also the Taylor Swift song.
Mm.
But so it's really, and the woman, Hannah, who did our podcast art, she just recently did an adorable version of Rebecca looking at a red string trying to figure out what the hell it is and Ted being tied to it behind her.
Ah.
So it's funny that that's been kind of going on in the fandom for a while. So each guy, the guys are all connected by a red string, not tied to their pinky fingers,
no.
but instead tied around their penis.
Yes.
so ridiculous.
I know. It's just like, where is this coming from?
And like, you know, the actors obviously didn't have anything tied to their penis, but they had to have had it still like taped to the inside of their leg or something.
Yeah.
And then they're all clutching themselves like children who have to pee because they're nervous. So he's like, all right, you know, this, you guys are, you cannot not be aware of where your partner is. When it's tied, when you have a string tied to your ding dong.
Yeah.
Ted and his little euphemisms. Is that the right word? I think so.
Yeah, it is.
So the guys start playing. It's ridiculous. Like, Jamie tells his partner, don't you dare leave my side. And throughout the game, you see Danny running so close to his partner, and Ted's like, spread out, spread out. And he's like, I'm too scared.
Yeah, too scared.
So they're doing okay until finally Jamie's partner doesn't listen. It gets too far away from him, and you hear like a pop.
I know, not good.
And everyone stops terrified, and they show the little red string that's like tied in a little lasso.
Yeah, pun intended. Almost like a little noose.
Yeah.
Yeah, lasso. Probably more of a lasso than a noose.
And they realize that it's not no longer on Jamie. So everyone is terrified while Jamie looks down his pants and he's like, it's okay. And then Danny says, it's okay.
His penis is okay. And everybody's relieved.
Yes. Until.
Including Jamie.
Yeah. No kidding. And I love that, was so scared to look in his pants.
And was it Danny that says, I thought I just ripped Jamie's knob off?
No, it was his. The guy that Jamie was tied to, but I don't know that guy's name.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the players that we don't see quite as
often.
Oh,
right, because he wasn't tied to Jamie, right?
Right.
It was funny.
Everyone seems okay until Ted goes to run out on the field and say good job, and he runs in between Isaac and Isaac's partner
and pulls the string.
Both of them. And Roy laughing in the background, the joy coming out of Roy is so disturbing.
He's enjoying it too much. And obviously, when we find out later that he's very obsessed with the tying the strings to their penises.
He is way into it. In fact, the next day, when they're back in the office, kind of coming up with the plan for that day, Roy says, okay, I think this time we should tie multiple guys' dicks to one guy's dick. And Ted's like, you know what? I think we...
Yeah,
we done cooked
that bird.
Yeah, we're good with that one. And he's just like,
But I like that he says, before he says it, I've given this a lot of thought. So how much is he sitting around thinking about tying strings to everyone's penises?
This is similar to his beating someone with a rope at 4 a.m. And then when Ted's like, he doesn't want to do it, he just goes, okay, all right. So yeah. Trent comes in because Trent's trying to figure out this strategy. So he's written down the first three, which are conditioning, versatility, and awareness.
Yeah.
But he has a question mark for number four. So he goes in and he asks Ted, what is number four? And Ted says, I don't know. Number four hasn't revealed itself yet.
Right.
Now, Craig from Peanut Butter and Biscuits, normally I try not to listen to any of the other podcasts before we do our own because...
You don't want to be influenced. Not influenced.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like steal their or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see how our different takes are. But since there was so little Ted and Rebecca in this one, I was like, I'm going to listen to Craig's. I didn't get all the way through it yet. I'm going to finish it today. But he had a great thought here, which is that is kind of them making a joke about season four. Because he keeps saying, like, I don't know. I don't know about what. I don't know what season four is.
Oh, that's pretty good. You know what?
Yeah. I thought it was such a good take on that. So if it is, that's fantastic. And they're so smart.
Has yet to reveal itself.
Has yet to reveal itself. You got to leave a little space for God to walk into the room. We're not saying, we don't know what season, you know, we don't know what four is. Maybe, maybe not.
You know, it's just so funny that Trent tries to go in there and he just gets the run around. And he just leaves without any kind of a straight answer. Nothing. You know, there was nothing there.
Right. No one's going to help him out.
And I must note, Trent has another cool shirt on. It looks like he's wearing a T-Rex, the band T-Rex.
Always. I love his shirts. They need to put all of them for sale.
You can't find. I'm telling you, I looked for that particular shirt, and I don't know where he got it.
That's a bummer.
But anyway, another cool shirt with a cool little coat.
Now, Ted's going to meet Sam's dad, Ola, but I need to set this up a bit because... I haven't mentioned any of the other storylines going on. So Sam's storyline this episode has been, he went to the restaurant to book a special table because his father is coming into town.
Right.
And then he noticed that the chef and the other people in the kitchen were watching news coverage of a refugee ship that comes in, and the British government is sending, they want to send them away. They don't want to help them.
Right.
So he tweets to her, you know, we can make Britain better than this. She comes back to him with, you should just shut up and worrying about playing football and dribble. Which I think is a nice representation of some of the stuff that has happened in this country as well, where athletes and other celebrities are trying to use their platform to, you know, speak aside.
Right.
And they get kind of torn down saying, you just need to stick to what you're good at. Just
shut up and play
Right. You're
your
not allowed to have an opinion.
You know, be in your band or whatever.
Yeah. So Sam, who's the sweetest guy ever, finally gets a little angry because of this, and then she says, you are a mediocre player on a mediocre team. He writes back, well, I'd rather be that than a bigot. And then we're to believe that this woman's followers, supporters, go to Ola's and trash it. They break in, smash everything. It's a disaster. So when his dad shows up to be able to come see his restaurant for the first time, Sam is very distraught, and he just kind of falls into his dad's arms and starts crying in the locker room.
But yeah, it was, it's actually quite a nice scene.
Oh, yeah. I love that they're
showing.
Acting was
very good in it.
Yes. And I realize where I hope I don't say his name wrong. Nonzo Anozie, I believe is his name. I was like, gosh, I know him from somewhere. And I've never watched Game of Thrones, so that wasn't it. But he's in Sweet Tooth, which coincidentally comes out today, the second season. But that's such a, I've never read the comic book. So if you're like hard on the comic book, you may not think the show's good, but just going in and watching the show, I thought it was really well done. So I'm excited to see that. But yes, so he's great. And then I had to look up his age because I was like, first of all, he looks like he's about 35, but he's not. He's 44. But he's still younger than Rebecca. She could date Sam's dad and still be the older woman.
Oh my gosh.
So Ted meets Ola for the first time and makes a dumb joke. Asked him if he would like some American candy because it's got the bad sugar. And it was also great to see, this show is about fathers and sons. So it was, we've seen bad representation of that. So it was really great to see a wonderful representation of that. We've known for a while that Sam and his dad are really close, and we got to see it in person.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's now Saturday. It's the day of the Arsenal match, and things are going poorly. The announcers are like, these guys don't look like they don't even remember how to play football at this point. So they go into the first half, or they end the first half.
In the first half, yeah.
Like 3-0, I think.
Yeah, 3-0.
And everyone's kind of not feeling great about themselves. So they go back into the locker room, and we find out the origin of Ted's mustache.
Yes.
Which seems like an odd conversation for him to have here, but it works out really well.
Yep.
So he says that there was a quartet of comedy guys that he liked.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when they toured together.
I remember Jeff Foxworthy concerts, and the Cable Guy, but not the other one so much. He said his favorite one was clean shaven. Then there was another one who had a full beard, but he couldn't do that because then he and Coach Beer would look like ZZ Top.
Yeah. He said that we would look like a ZZ Top cover band.
Oh, right.
And then, which then Roy continues on to say, that would have been called Sharp Dressed Men. Because, you know, ZZ Top had the Sharp Dressed Man song. And usually these cover bands will always use something from one of the band's song titles or... but yeah, anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. And then he says, and then Ted's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then Roy's like, oh.
I hate what you've done to me.
I know. Like, he just... he's just making him say dad jokes,
right.
I guess, essentially.
His humor has now leaked into Roy's brain, and he hears the jokes whether he wants to or not. So then he said there was another guy, Larry the Cable Guy, who had a goatee. And he was like, okay, I'm going to grow this goatee
Big old
out.
Bushy goatee.
Yeah, big old bushy one. And he says he thought he looked great until right before he was going to walk down the aisle, Beard pulled him aside and said... that he's like, what did you say, Coach? And he said that you look like you ate out Bigfoot's butthole.
Oh my God, it's terrible. And the fact that it's like walk down the aisle, was he about to get married?
It sounds like it. So not only did he grow this goatee for the wedding, he then went and shaved into a mustache. And the first time Michelle saw that was when she got to the end of the aisle.
Right. Oh my God.
I think we're starting to see some cracks here.
Yeah, but really.
So after Beard makes the ate out Bigfoot's butthole comment.
Terrible.
Roy says, AKA ass squatch.
Yeah.
And when Ted's like, you're on fire, he says, make it stop.
Make it stop. Like he can't help himself, but in the afterwards, he hates himself.
He is physically in pain being this stupid now.
Yep.
So he shaved down the goatee into the Jeff Foxworthy mustache and never looked
back. And here we are.
Here we are. So that is how Ted got the mustache. The point of the story, however, is that sometimes the right idea is just sitting behind a couple of wrong ones. So that really did. It made sense. It tied together.
Yeah.
So he sees that Jamie wants to say something and he's like, you want to say something? And Jamie's like, well, I do, but I don't want to be a prick. So they all give him the signal, which says, go ahead and be a prick.
Right, which is the middle finger.
Yep. Even Trent does it. And he says, you know, you guys are doing it wrong. So he goes over to where they have the little magnets on the board to show the positions. And he's like, I shouldn't be up front. I should be back here in the middle. Put Danny, Colin, and someone else up front. And you need to not go to me. You need to go through me so that you guys can score a goal.
Yes. Which actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And he says, that's total football. Danny says, oh, number four is sacrifice. Because Jamie is now giving up the glory of making all the goals for the good of the for the good of the game. And Ted says, no, that's not number four.
Yeah, no, no. And like he's like, well, I tried.
Yeah. They try Jamie's tactic during the second half of the game.
Yeah, right out of the gate.
Yeah. They don't win, but it still works. They have like a beautiful play where they make a goal and they can really feel like they're working together.
Yes.
So afterwards, you know, they're feeling pretty good that they did better. Trent comes in with this epiphany.
I know. It's hilarious. It's like he's out of character.
Yeah. It's like he's like Doc Brown or something. I can't. Right. There's some kind of character that he's reminding me of that I cannot think of what it is exactly.
That's funny. And while he's doing all of this, like he's going on and he's, it's going to work and total football and blah, blah, blah. He really wants to know what number four is. Because at the end, he's like, it doesn't even matter what number four is. So, well, I mean, I guess it makes you wonder if he's really given up. Like, I don't even give a shit about number four anymore because I have this epiphany. Or if he still is like, I want to know what number four is.
I think he still wants to. Well, yeah. And again, if it's the joke of like season four, then he's basically saying like, everything is going to work out the way you thought it was going to from the beginning. So it doesn't even matter if we do season four, if that's the joke here. But his epiphany is that this has all worked because of the lasso way.
Right, right. That's what it is.
We first heard of the lasso way in the very first episode when Rebecca says, from now on, we're going to be doing things the lasso way. She was hoping it was going to be terrible at the time, but it turns out it wasn't. So Trent says, you know, for these three seasons, for these seasons leading up to this one, you have been building trust with these guys in small moments, whether it's having a cake for somebody's birthday, getting them to work together, getting them to talk about how they feel. All these little different things have come to now make it so that this team really does work well together. And it wouldn't maybe work if it was any other team trying total football because they're not quite as in sync. So he says,
that's a good point.
He says it's going to work and this is great. And it's all the lasso way. So he runs off all like super hyper. He had some American candy because
he seems
like he's all hopped up on sugar. And yeah, I still feel like he's still needling to see what four will be, if there will be one.
Oh yeah. He wants to know.
Now we're going to go to the Rebecca scenes, which I did it this way because she only had two and I wasn't sure if it was going to be awkward if we tried to mix them.
Yeah.
So earlier in the episode, the first time we see her, she is at dinner with Keeley. And I love the line going into seeing them in the restaurant is her saying, my jacket is still a little bit canal-y.
Right. Instead of saying it smells like a canal, it's good, like it's the whole canal-y vibe. Like maybe it's time to throw it away.
That is true. She should throw it's all that with. Stuff away.
Yeah.
Especially the underwear.
Let it go.
And she's telling Keeley about the experience that she had with, who I called Floating Dutchman.
Mm-hmm.
Flying Dutchman is the original ghost ship. And somebody else pointed out that he had all that Air Force stuff.
Right.
So he really is the Flying Dutchman. Dutchman,
yeah.
Which is a ghost ship that never docks. So,
right.
But I'm going to abandon my thought that he wasn't real. I think he's real. Because okay. once she came out of her drug haze, she would have probably realized that it wasn't real.
Right.
So I think it is real.
And now she's telling the story and her jacket smells like a canal. So right. it's real.
Well, I always figured she fell in the canal.
Right.
I just figured that whatever that experience was afterwards. Like
I see.
Like if we go back, we would find out that like some old guy helped her get into a cab and that was
right.
it. And then she had that whole drug trip. But
gotcha. Okay.
But I'm going to go with Dutchman is real. Possibility we'll see him again.
Mm.
So Keely's like, wait a minute. So you didn't get his name and you didn't tell him your name. And she's like, nope. And she's like, all right, well, that's not really that weird. But what's bonkers is that you didn't have sex with
him. Yeah, I know. It's insane.
And she says, what we had transcended sex. She says, it was. And then Keely says, magic. And she says, gazelic,
mm-hmm.
which is the word that she learned from the Floating Dutchman.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in the scene, she's wearing a gold ring that she's kind of like twisting on her finger. I feel like she's trying to call attention to the ring a bit. I'd only bring this up because Hannah Waddingham has said before that she's very particular about what Rebecca wears and that Rebecca's jewelry can kind of give off her mood. So she's very particular in the stuff that she chooses. The ring is, it's supposed to look like a lasso. It looks like a string that's kind of tied in a knot at the top.
Ah.
Which goes with the soulmate connection that we talked about earlier, that Ted brought up earlier in the episode with the string tied to your ring. So I don't know if she's doing that on purpose. I think she's probably doing that on purpose if this is going in the direction we think it is. And I think her kind of playing with it is sort of calling attention to it a little bit more. So the whole scene on and off, you'll see her like twirling the ring around her finger.
Hmm. That's interesting. Nice catch.
And I did not catch that.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
I saw that on Twitter.
Oh, you did say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, nice
but
catch
no, it
to
is,
whoever
yeah, it was
posted it on Twitter.
A great catch because I kind of noticed that she was playing with it a little bit, but I didn't put it together until I saw that on Twitter. So she says, gazelleg. And then she says, yeah, but I would have really liked to see his penis.
Yeah. Wow.
She should have gone for it.
Mm.
Anyway, so now they're talking. She's joking about how they haven't seen each other in so long. And she's like, yeah, because I lost you to another woman. And Keely's like, I'm sorry. She's like, I'm just totally joking. So now they start talking a bit about Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And Keely is saying, you know, she's so hot. She's a great gift giver. And the way she like just got up in front of the office and proclaimed that we were dating was hot.
Yeah.
And earlier in the episode, we saw Jack at first gives her a first edition of Sense and Sensibility. That
right,
is,
which is probably super expensive.
Yeah, that was signed by Jane Austen, apparently. And then she wrote above that, go, Keely, go. Her
Oh, yeah. Which is insane.
Yeah. And like, I'm having a hard time getting a read on Jack because she does say, like, I'm really jealous that she personalized it because she's very jealous and she can't stand the thought of her regifting it. So I'm still on the fence as to whether or not
Yeah, Jack I'm not sure this relationship's going to end well.
Yeah.
Something, you know what I'm saying? It,
yep.
Which is going to really complicate things because of the business and everything. But
for sure.
Yeah, I feel like this isn't going to end well, but maybe not.
And Rebecca brings up the fact that it sounds like what she's doing is called love bombing. And Keely's
yes.
like, what? What is that? And she says, it's just something that they say, you know, those people that name things.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells her on her second date with Rupert, Rupert took her to a car room show, a showroom, and said, which one do you want? And Keely's like, I would love that. And Rebecca probably did in the moment, but now she realizes that that was a terrible move. And she said, well, I went home with a Jaguar, but, you know, I missed all these red flags that
right.
I should have seen along the way. And she's like, I'm not saying that that's what Jack is doing, but I just want you to be careful. think about it and just make sure that you're looking out for the flags.
Yep. The love bombing, by the way, is, would you like to know the definition?
Oh, yeah.
Or what the internet says the definition is?
What they say?
What they say. Whoever said it, here's what they said. Love bombing is a form of psychological and emotional abuse that involves a person going above and beyond for you in an effort to manipulate you into a relationship with them. Yeah. So it's a form of, almost some form of abuse in a way.
Yeah.
But anyway, and it's a real thing. I mean, not that I didn't think it was, but I'm like, I'm going to look it up.
And there has to be a fine line because some people's love language is giving gifts. Like that's
right.
what they like
but I
to
mean,
do.
The insanity of the gifts.
Right.
Too.
So I think it's the purpose behind the gifts. Plus it's the amount of gifts. And it's the fact that even though Keely is pretty wealthy, I think we have an idea. Is it nearly as wealthy as Jack is? So she can't really compete with the stuff that she's giving her.
And that's what love bombing is. It's trying to get somebody to really like you by getting them all these gifts. And you know where we've seen, what show we saw this in before?
What?
Friends. With Jon Favreau plays, he's like a millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And he tries to woo Monica and he like flies her to Paris at the last minute and he buys her all these things because she doesn't necessarily like him. So he's trying to, he's love bombing her.
Right.
So,
and although Rebecca wasn't interested in a sexual relationship with Keely that we know of, she could have love bombed her just for friendship. But
Friend
she
love
didn't.
Bombs.
They've been pretty, you know, she pays for dinner and stuff when they go out, it seems like, but other than that, it seems like they're on pretty equal ground.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I forgot about that. Friends.
I know. I don't know why. I just thought of it. It just came to me. Love bombing.
I had heard that once before, but I didn't really understand it in that kind of context. So I thought it was like when someone comes on super hot and then they get super cold, like they're not really that interested. They're just in it in the moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought it was. So
yeah, I just think it's people guilting. I mean, like I bought you all these expensive. And then when you try to break it up, well, I bought you all these expensive things.
Right.
You know,
Well,
you know, come get them because I'm leaving.
So Keely says, maybe we're love blind. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, well, what's that? And she's like, we're colorblind, where we see red flags, but all we think they are big, giant, fucking green go for it flags. And Rebecca's like, did you just make that up? And she says, yes. She's like, great. You're one of those they that name things.
Right. So there you go.
So,
that's funny.
Yeah. It's cute. They're having a good time. They ask for the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And when the server comes over, she's like, oh, actually, it's already been paid for by Jack.
Mm-hmm. See, and I think that made me immediately go back to the comment where she said that she's a jealous person.
Right.
I think this is her way of letting Keely... or letting Rebecca know, hey, who's in charge.
Right.
In a way. I mean, in a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I agree.
I know you're out and I know you're, you know, doing things, but you know what? I'm the...
Right.
I'm the running things here. Right.
And letting Keely know, like, I'm keeping an eye on you almost, you know, because now she knows...
What restaurant she's at.
Right. Everything they had for dinner.
Right.
So Rebecca takes advantage of that, orders 2 bottles of wine to go... tiramisu for dessert, and then tells the server, you can also get a bottle of wine for yourself.
Well, I had to know how much this bottle of wine costs. It's the whatever she orders, 34 Chateau Cheval Blanc. I don't even know how to say it. Saint-Emilion Premier Grand Cru. And she says it, too, and I don't remember.
Right, because she says it the correct way.
Right, Grand Cru. it can range, depending on the year, too, it can range anywhere from $500 to $700 a bottle. So let's just assume it's the cheapest. She just ran up Jack's bill by about
$1,500
and then probably, you know, $40 more in tiramisu.
Jack deserves that because no one asked her to pay for dinner.
Exactly. And I think that's Rebecca saying,
yep.
Here you go, Jack. You want to pay for dinner? Pay for dinner.
So then the next time we see Rebecca in this episode is the Arsenal
game. Oh, and side note, sorry.
No, go for it.
It's $500 to $700 from their website. Right. I don't know what it would be in a restaurant.
Oh, that's
probably
true. There's probably
more.
An upcharge, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
The next time we see Rebecca is at the Arsenal game. She's with Keely, and they're having a drink before the game. Rebecca's telling Keely now this time about how Rupert once bought so many tulips that his florist was able to buy a castle. And she's like, well, it was in Scunthorpe, but it was still a castle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to know anything about?
Yeah, I don't know any. I probably didn't even say it right.
Scunthorpe. I don't know. You probably said it better than I just said it.
Where is it?
It's an industrial town in the United Kingdom's largest steel processing center. But here's the thing: in Scunthorpe has been voted the fourth worst place to live in the UK in an online vote. The I Live Here UK website has come up with a list of 10 worst places to live in England, and according to thousands of people who voted on Facebook, Scunthorpe is one of the worst.
Wow. We could probably afford a house there.
Right. We can probably a castle. So that's what the reference is.
I see. So I'm wondering what the American equivalent of what is the, I don't want to insult anyone.
That's what I was about to say. I like three places came to mind. I'm not saying any of them because I'm going to insult somebody.
Going with like the industrial and like, I'm thinking of cars. I'm thinking of like
a suburb of
Detroit or something like
is
that.
What I would say.
That's what I was
saying. I'm not going to name any suburbs because I frankly don't know.
No.
But I would say something like that.
And I apologize if you are from Detroit.
I know,
because
we
it.
Don't.
I'm very sorry.
I said a suburb,
really
not exactly Detroit.
Of,
yeah, like an industrial. Pittsburgh?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Like somewhere near Pittsburgh. Yeah. I don't know.
Keely says, no, this time I am taking Jack out for dinner. And Rebecca's like, okay. And then what happens when she tries to pay? She says, you'll give her what? I'll give her just the tip.
I know. It's
but
insane.
I am confused about this joke because.
You don't think? Or sorry, go ahead.
Well, okay. So I've always thought that just the tip.
here we go.
This is going to be awkward for a minute.
Any more awkward than pegging?
It's so funny how many penis jokes are in this. The pegging, the tip, the strings and the penises. And Rebecca saying she wanted to see that guy's penis. I feel like there was, the episode should have been called The Penises That Bind Us.
Yes.
But I've always thought that just the tip is more of a thing a guy says to get a girl to let him have sex with her.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, just the tip in general, yes. That's...
Which I don't think would really equate too much to two women, because the tip is just
fine.
Well,
I think that's the joke, I guess.
I guess so.
She's only
and then
gonna,
I was like,
I don't know.
But then if they're talking about tipping also,
well,
which is a double joke,
right?
But they don't tip in the UK, so then they added that in just for the Americans.
I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe they do tip.
Anyway, they just needed to get another dick joke in there.
Exactly.
And they did it. Now, I also want to point out here, Rebecca's wearing a red shirt. I don't know if this was on purpose, but the episode started with Ted wearing a red shirt, and then the last time we see her, she's wearing the red shirt.
All right.
Because the whole idea with the soulmates is that they're tied together by an invisible red string. So I don't know if this red is symbolizing that. Okay, so then Higgins comes over with Ola, who is Sam's father. And he says, hi, Rebecca. It's nice to meet you. And she says, it's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah. And then it gets ridiculously awkward.
He says, Sam has told me a lot about you. She's like, oh, has he?
Mm, cool.
And he just kind of looks at her and goes, yes.
Yeah. And he's like, cool.
I think Sam and his dad have the same relationship as Will and his mom. Because remember last week, Will was on the phone with his mom. And he's like, and then a very nice couple asked me to have a threesome with them.
Yeah. That's right.
So who knows what Sam told his dad. And so now she looks a little panic-stricken because she's like, okay, Higgins doesn't know. This guy must know. I don't know what to do. And then Keely just jumps in and says, like, go, Greyhounds!
I know.
And they all start cheering for the Greyhounds, and the moment is broken.
Yeah.
And that's the last time we see Rebecca in this
that's
episode.
It.
So there was one other thing I wanted to bring up. Throughout the episode, we see Nate try to ask Jade out on a date.
Right.
He's having a hard time. He goes to his family's house for dinner, and his sister's asking, like, what's going on? You hooking up with lots of girls? And he says, no, there's this one girl that I like, but how do I know if she likes me? And they're like, well, just ask her out. If she says no, then you know. And
right.
He's like, he goes in this whole thing about how it would be devastating, and he would never be able to go to the restaurant again, and he would be scarred for life. And the sister says he's just like dad. So
right.
It's interesting that the man that we see as Nate's father now has always been very cold and
right
with Nate, but that was him. So is he seeing what he didn't like in himself and Nate, and that's what makes him treat him poorly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And if Nate doesn't have this intervention here, is he going to go the path of his father? So he's going to turn into this cold, which we see kind of happening with Rupert. And also, we saw Rupert love bomb Nate with the car.
Oh, good point. He did love bomb him. Got him a car.
But I like, so they decide they're going to show Nate the map. They pull out a map that the father drew for the mother because he's a cartographer. Oh, God.
Sure.
He makes maps. And again, I think it's in miles, unless that guy was from America. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, he shows him a map of when the dad asked the mom out. And it says, like, the miles between where we were born, 4,000 something. The miles between where we grew up, 4,000 something. The miles between our dorm.
We had 1-point-something miles.
Yes. And so that inspires him to kind of make a really adorable box, like this grand gesture to ask Jade out on a date. Goes horribly wrong because he gets run over by a car. But he asks her and she says, yes, date goes well. We're to assume that this girl now likes him and that will continue. But I just wasn't sure with the, like, I don't know if they were also just using that in terms of Nate or if that idea of kind of like a grand gesture of asking someone out would fall into Ted and Rebecca as well.
Right.
Also because of, like, they were born pretty much 4,000 and something miles apart as well. So I don't know that we'll see kind of that come back up again in any way. I don't know that Ted would find out about the map or if it's just kind of like this idea that one of them is going to do like a grand gesture for the other one.
Oh, interesting.
And I think if either of them is going to, it's going to be Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
All right.
Okay. And then before we get to our questions, I also wanted to say at the end, we see the team is there helping Sam rebuild his restaurant, which again, I think is a nod towards what Ted has done since he's been there, because these guys probably would have never done this for each other 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Jamie and Sam they hated each other. Jamie's there, right?
Yes, he is. He has the whole line
he's right there with that. I see him
He
now.
Said okay. He had a situation we thought we needed, you needed us in or something.
Yes. So this is very sweet. Although I'm going to disagree, they need to fix the mirrors.
Yeah, someone's going to cut themselves.
Yeah, little kids are going to be chipping away at that. There's going to be glass in people's food. It's going to be a nightmare. What do we learn about Ted?
The origins of his mustache.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yes.
I don't want to put it in the notes.
Very good, because I would have stolen it.
The origins of the mustache. Oh, you had it already?
No, I didn't. But yes, I had that he's not as bad as his job as we thought he was.
Yeah, like, there you go.
This has actually been having some effect. He questioned in the beginning of the season, why am I still here? Am I doing more harm than good? And we're realizing that he's not. So he does have a purpose here.
Yep.
And even though he may not be the most conventional coach and needs some Coach Beard guidance, the effect that he's having on the team is helping them. Okay, what did we learn about Rebecca? I put that Rupert love-bombed her.
Yes, that she was love-bombed. Sweet. And she used to have a jaguar.
Yeah.
Jaguar.
So she got a bunch of tulips from him.
And she likes expensive wine.
She does.
Yeah.
Rebecca likes expensive everything.
Right. Come on.
Yes, but she can. Okay, well, then what's, you said the other one earlier. Say it.
She wanted to see the floating Dutchman's penis.
Either one. Yes.
Floating. Dutchman's penis.
Yes, she did.
Which, again, more penises.
She's probably having regrets now. She's like, I should have just gone for it. Or I have to go back to Amsterdam now, try to find
this
guy.
Throw myself back in the canal. Oh, well, I guess she doesn't have to do that.
Just knock on the door and be like, I know whatever we had transcended sex, but can we just do it one time? Okay, thanks. And then for what did Rebecca learn? I put that she learned that Sam's dad knows about her.
Yeah, well, that's true. Good point. Yep.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. Yeah, that got weird.
Yeah, that was very awkward. And then what did Ted learn? I just put, you got to watch where you're going when your players have string tied to their penises.
I guess so, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. And he learned what a few of the players had for breakfast because a lot of them threw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then, can you read what
he
I
learned,
put under?
He learned that... that the bar is empty when they're losing.
Oh, that is a good point too.
So that maybe, not that it would be, I know, he needs more incentive.
Well, like, he needs any more pressure. Okay, read what I wrote under, are they any more aware of each other?
Fuck no.
They couldn't possibly be because they didn't see each other at
right.
all.
At all. At all.
No. But even though they did not see each other at all in the episode, I feel like we still get the impression that they are going in this direction, especially yeah. with bringing up the soulmate
yeah.
talk. They've mentioned soulmate a couple of times on this. Mm-hmm. And of course, they could be non-sexual soulmates. Sure. Could happen. Non-romantic.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it. I don't see it. Okay.
All right.
So that is all. Oh, we made it. I thought this was going to be like a 23-minute episode. No. Actually, yep. almost.
Oh, gosh. Something just happened.
That's okay. It's done anyway. It actually almost was an hour.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to yell at me on Twitter, it's Ted Becca Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
All right. In the next episode, I will have gathered plenty of facts and about our personal lives that I will review, and that will be 20 minutes of the podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we've never been to therapy, but maybe we'll just do that
here. Do it right here.
Yeah, so this will be our therapy.
That'd be great.
No, I promise we won't. And everybody, listen, if you pray, if you put good thoughts out into the universe.
Good vibes.
Just let's all just think Ted and Rebecca in the same room thoughts. Not even anything more than that. Just in a room and talking
together,
to one another
acting.
For like,
or not acting, but you know what I mean.
4 or 5 minutes at least of a 57-minute episode.
Okay. That'd be cool.
All right. Bye.
Bye.